Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Last hour of Grant and Danny. Mike Francesa's got another hilarious video we've got to talk about. Tom, I'm going to send you a link. Oh, is it good? Oh, he's already got it. Tom's one step ahead of us.
Yeah,
on
he is.
Audio
yeah,
video.
He is.
I like that about him. A 118, we can get into that. Right now, though, Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Nate Davis covers the NFL as well as anybody. Nate, great to have you back on the show. We got the Rams and the Patriots. Your first thought on the matchup?
Well, it's probably the wrong matchup, as I think we all know. I was in New Orleans for the NFC game and got to see all that fallout firsthand. But, yeah, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's fine. I tend to think that the Patriots are probably should be the favorite here with as young a team as the Rams are. And but, you know, I guess we'll find out. I didn't think the Eagles would win last year either, but my first thought is it seems like it's going to be another Patriots Lombardi at first blush.
Nate, it's easy to say review everything, right? It's the Patriots actually are the ones who usually introduce that rule, if memory serves, at the competition committee. It's easy to say that, but it is a can of worms that you might be opening. I want them to be able to get the call right, that non-call at the end of the game that changed everything for the Saints. But how can you review a non-call? I mean, that would lead to a slippery slope. Where do you kind of stand on this? Obviously, we want to get it right so badly, but it seems like if we have instant replay and you can't get it right, why do we have it?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on this, Danny. I mean, it is a Pandora's box, and you know how far are you going to open it? And you know, I think we've all heard that you know, when it comes to a judgment call, I mean, replay is there to reverse things that are black and white, you know, right or wrong kind of things. Obviously, the play Sunday was clearly pass interference, but where's that line going to be? I mean, people, you know, refs will tell you, others will tell you, players will tell you. I mean, you could call holding on every play of the NFL. You could probably call pass interference in some form on just about every play. But obviously, it's a judgment call. It's like the NBA, you know, when you call fouls. So how do you legislate that? And if it's a less blatant call, you know, who's to say, you know, one guy's flag is another guy's non-call for refs even. So I don't know how to do it. You know, I know that they're talking about PI specifically. I don't know if you give a coach one PI challenge per game, how that works, if it's a two-minute, you know, inside 2 minutes thing, which it would have been the other day. But we're definitely, I think we need to be careful what we're asking for here.
Nate Davis on Grant and Danny. One place to draw the line is on the other side of the penalty and the play that didn't happen on Sunday. And what I mean by that is everyone in the stadium knows that it was a PI, including the officials when they look up at the big board.
And Robbie Coleman, he said so himself.
We've got to know, and we've got to have a way at that point that the next snap doesn't happen when we're getting the call wrong, and in the end, the result of the game is going to be different. So for me, I don't know where you draw the line. I can't answer that, but I know that that can't happen ever again. We need to be able to buzz down from the booth, and we've got to have some clause. You're about to screw up big enough to send the wrong team to the Super Bowl. Buzz, 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 no play. Come over and get on the headset and watch this with me. I know that that's very common sense and practical, and like it's not defined. Figure the rest out as you go, but that can't ever happen again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it sounds great in theory, Grant. I mean, it does. It's just, you know, I guess the question I have is when it's not that clear cut, or if it's clear cut to some people and not others. I mean, it's just how do you put that down in writing? You know, I mean, what is too obvious? What is sort of obvious, and what is, well, that was probably a penalty, but you know, let them play. I'm just I just don't know how you actually put pen to paper on this and lay out for officials, coaches, or anyone else to say, you know, this is actually, you know, the rule. And
what about,
you know,
if we called
one...
it like, and I'm literally thinking as we go here, but like irrefutable blown call
rule, yeah,
like the IFBCC we're in invoking, that was irrefutable. We know 100% that was the wrong call. If it's 92%, just like a review, it's not irrefutable. If you got the call wrong, it's irrefutable, and we got enough time to stop you with our buzzer before the next play, we're going to do that.
I think irrefutable is a great term. I mean, I'm sure that you have arguments with Danny every day that are irrefutable to one of you and not to the other.
But you agree that penalty, there's not a single person on the planet that doesn't think that was a PI. And if they think that, then they're wrong. I mean, it was very clearly a pass interference.
I agree Sunday was a blatant, mistake.
But that's all I'm talking about, Nate. Those types of plays. We just can't have those missed.
But who is that up to? I mean, is that do three guys look at that in New York and they all decide it's irrefutable? Or two out of three say it's irrefutable? Is it really irrefutable or not?
No, I mean, it would have to be all three and literally everyone in the stadium like Sunday. It would be a rare thing is my point, but it would prohibit what just happened.
Again, it sounds good in theory. I just don't know how the NFL is going to how the mechanics of this would work. You know, is it inside 2 minutes? Does the coach get one irrefutable challenge per game? You know, certainly I'd like to see a mechanism that prevents that kind of flaw from the other day. I just, it just seems like this is fraught with gray area.
At by Nate Davis on Twitter writes for USA Today about the National Football League. Joins us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Nate, the big picture here is you've got two great teams going at it for the Super Bowl. You had four great teams in the conference finals. Great games abound. This year, four out of the four top scoring offenses met in the conference final. In previous years, it's three out of four, three out of five. I think the lowest was three of the top six going back the last 5 years. You've had a couple Super Bowl winners out of that group that have been excellent all-time defenses. Think of Denver, think of Seattle. But in general, you want to have a great season, you have a great offense. Is that, to me, the lesson, the takeaway from what's going on right now in the league? Is if you're a manager, you're devoting time to building a team, it should be you invest all hell in offense and hope that you can put a defense together?
Danny, I don't know if it's that simple. I mean, I think everybody obviously is looking to get their quarterback first. But I think when you look at draft boards and which players are most valued, I mean, it's generally quarterback and left tackle, but also cornerback and edge rusher. So I think defense is still valued. And I mean, as a guy that just covered that NFC Championship game, to me, the Rams won that game on special teams and defense. I mean, the offense, I'm not going to say it didn't show up, but Jared Goff wasn't great. Todd Gurley was invisible. They had a couple of big plays to Brandon Cooks, but their defense kept them in that game and let them hang around. And basically Greg Zuerlein and Johnny Hecker, I don't want to say Johnny Hecker won it for him, but he's the guy that got them going with that fake punt to get their first points on the board. I think it's a little just too simplistic to say it's all about the offense because, I think we had an example of that the other day. And, you look at what the Chiefs did 2 weeks ago against the Colts. I mean, it broke down against the Patriots. But, it takes all sides. And I think the Rams definitely showed, that this game is still about all three phases.
I'm curious about Todd Gurley's role in the Super Bowl. Do you believe he was healthy on Sunday? Everyone seems to say that he was, and yet he became a very little-used player behind C.J. Anderson.
Yeah, Grant, they were saying going into the game that he looked like his old self in practice last week, he looked like the same guy that was fresh and dangerous in October, November, and that the knee wasn't an issue at that point. And then Sean McVay said after the game, that, look, this was basically, C.J. Anderson was better in the flow of the game. It was more just not a benching of Todd so much, but I mean, they picked up this great second back. And though Anderson wasn't great, he was certainly having a better day than Gurley was on Sunday. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I got to believe there's some element that Todd Gurley is not quite 100%, and maybe another 2 weeks helps him. That being said, he did look pretty good against Dallas the week prior, had a 100-yard game then. So, we'll see, but. The Saints really did do a good job shutting down the run and taking away that offense for most of the day on Sunday. So I think probably the truth is somewhere in between flow of the game issue and Todd not quite being back to being Todd yet.
Nate, always fun, dude. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you, guys.
See you, pal.
Look forward to seeing you soon, buddy. There's Nate Davis of the USA Today. Does a great job covering the National Football League. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. What did Mike Francesa say that made us laugh out loud yesterday? Got to tell you about that next.
Guys, Stanley Rouillet for my pals at Tedbert Ford. New year, new Ford. Ford makes the cars. Tedbert makes the difference. I should know I'm a two-time. That's right. Not one, but two-time Tedbert customer. Loved it so much the first time I went back when it was my time to get a car. I got a Ford Fusion. Where is it, Danny? It's a good question, rhetorical person. That set me up for this answer. It's parked downstairs right now. getting energy from the building. That's right. The building's paying for the electricity that pilots my car. I had a trip the other day, and I finished the trip, and it said my average gas mileage overall since I've had the car, 999.99 miles per gallon. That's because I use the electric charge most of the time. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing, and I save money doing it. You'll save money when you go to Tempered Ford and you buy from them. Look at your 120% Kelley Blue Book value on your trade-in. That's a good deal. And then, how about this? How about a new 2018 F-150? 11 grand off the MSRP or 0% APR for 60 months, plus $1,800 in bonus cash. Those deals and so much more at Ted Britt Ford. They're in Fairfax, they're in Chantilly. Click away at TedBritt.com. You got to go. You got to tell them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listening to 106.7 The Fan. Our mics are on, and Mike will be on soon enough. Is his show at 3?
What are the different ways that he's bringing you the sports? It's the thing I've never gotten solved.
Plenty of ways.
Any way that he can. He's probably going to talk into the microphone while drinking a Diet Coke.
Is that what he's going to do? Drink?
Yeah, the mic's on the side. And he's that's how he's bringing you the sports. Any
Did
way
you
that
see
he can.
Yesterday, funniest thing on the internet yesterday. The there.
Any way that
Todd
he can.
Gurley. Posted on Instagram some picture that was doctored of, you know how after games players will all hold up the jersey of the opposing player who they went to college with or their boys with. It's like a respect thing. So Redskins play the Rams. Adrian Peterson's got Todd Gurley's Rams jersey. Gurley's got Peterson's Redskins 28.
Yeah, it's like a soccer thing where guys used to trade jerseys all the time.
It's like holding up each other's jerseys, and it's this new fun thing everyone does. And a lot of fans are still annoyed by it. Do you remember that was a huge issue at first?
Yeah.
We had callers calling in, why are these guys celebrating each other after these games? They should be hating that team. People actually got bothered by it, and I think they've just been defeated now because you never hear anyone talk about
it. You don't hear
it
anymore.
But instead of Todd Gurley holding up Drew Brees' jersey after the game, somebody went in to a picture of him holding up a jersey, and it's a 10. It's so well doctored and put together.
It looks real.
Tweet Maravich style. Gurley is holding up an official's jersey, and the official who's got his shirt off, his zebra shirt off, is holding up Todd Gurley's jersey. So it looks like the head referee who blew the call and Todd Gurley are exchanging what they wore that day.
Okay, the internet is amazing.
It's
a terrible place, and so much bad happens, and it's never good, and you're always reminded of the darkness inside of all of us, and humanity's doomed. But every once in a while, you get the Todd Gurley ref meme.
The Todd Gurley ref meme made it all around the internet by 10 a.m. yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I saw it first thing when I woke up. I actually had been texted by two different people. Hope you saw this. Laughed each time. And my first thought automatically was, somebody's a genius. That's a great.
It's a great bit.
Great use of your time.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever used the 45 minutes to make that, it's going to be everywhere. Good for you. It'll be on national TV all over the place. Mike Francesa saw that, and apparently his reaction was, this is unprofessional. Why would this referee pose with this guy's jersey? How could you possibly do this? Here was Mike Francesa on radio yesterday on one of the more popular shows and one of the more popular stations in the country in our format.
I gave you the referee's name who ran the group and who said to the pool reporter that it was a judgment call and he wasn't even sure what call they were talking about. If you were the referee of that game and you didn't realize you had a problem on your hands and that is your honest statement, you should be fired. You should never have another jersey, whether you exchange them with players before the game, which should be an outrageous thing to begin with. No way should an official be exchanging jerseys with a player before a game. That's such a bad thing to do, number one. Number two, they have to stay distant from the players.
This feels like a dad who doesn't know how social media works. Kind of seeing the wrong thing and jumping to his own conclusion.
And let me tell you something. I'm against officials and players exchanging jerseys, okay? I am. That's wrong.
So I'm not overreacting. I'm right when I jumped to the conclusion that everyone else jumped to, which was he definitely thought that picture was real.
He definitely thought it was real. He probably still does, by the way. He's probably been told, and then he pretended that he knew it all along or something.
There's no way he still does. Here's what I want to know about these Francesa bloopers. Do they get brought back up the next day? Does he acknowledge them and discuss them? Or is it just like it never happened?
It only gets brought up if a caller calls him out on it, because no one on his show will ever admit, no matter how big it gets, that he was wrong.
But if a caller calls in today and says, he's like, Tom Gaithersburg, what you got? And he's like, hey, Mike, yesterday you.
Yeah, it's just a troll call.
100%. And he gets
through. Some goblin gets through, yeah.
I don't know how they get through, and they never seem to cut him off, so I give him credit for that.
Because he's had producers. Remember the one where he read a news report from 2 years before about a picture from the Mets eating Tommy John? And he's just like, I've just been doing this.
Was it Syndergaard or Matt?
Matt Harvey. Remember.
It was Harvey. He never read the date, obviously. Because if he had, he would have realized, oh, this is 2 years old. But he's reading it live on air doing his, well, he reads for 15 minutes, and people think it's good. Never forget, people think it's good, okay? And someone told him, no, that's
people.
Old. And he goes, no, it's 2 days old. No, it's old. It's years old. Yeah, you know, he had it in previous years. Like, he didn't understand it. Someone was allowed to correct that. But I don't know if anyone's allowed to correct this, that he's walking around thinking that a Mame
okay,
is
but play
real.
This out. So Tom in Gaithersburg calls in and says, hey, yesterday you said that ref had posed with Todd Gurley. I'm sure you know by now that was a fake picture.
What do you mean it's fake? I saw the picture.
It's not fake.
It's on my computer. If it's on my computer, it's real.
Tom, come to the studio.
I can pull it up right now. I invented fantasy football.
Does he claim that?
Yeah.
That can't be true.
Yeah, we played it on the show.
Yeah, it was in June. He said he created daily fantasy football.
He also claimed,
I do remember that now.
I can give you five players.
I could create a game where you could pick a player.
I forgot.
And they might have a stat.
That's one of the greatest ever.
Or a stat number.
He doesn't claim this. He doesn't say I created it 20 years ago.
He invented daily fantasy.
All he tried to do was create FanDuel now, like a week ago.
I could create a game, is what he said about million why times.
Danny, this is going on the wheel, by the way. I just want you to know that.
All right.
Why don't we do a thing where I'll give you all the players on the Giants. You got to take one at every position, and based on the stats they get that weekend.
Quarterback.
You get points for value based on the numbers.
Running back.
It's a game. It's not real life. It's more like
I
would say it's more like a fantasy.
But it's on the daily. The meme one a lot. I like the one where he just sort of casually dropped, I could have been a coach. I would have taken a big pay cut, but I could have been a coach.
They wanted me on the staff.
Yeah,
people called me before.
He claimed that he was asked to be on an NFL staff, and everyone just went, I could see that. What?
Now, you know who actually believed it? All of his listeners in New York. The people that eat out of his palm. Sundress party this year.
Uh-huh.
Where was it? A rooftop, somewhere kind of cool? Arlington?
Not, the old used to be Clarendon Ballroom. What's it called? Wilson. Whitlow's on Wilson.
Right. Whitlow's on Wilson.
Whitlow's on Tom Wilson.
We're having a jolly old time. This guy comes up super nice, and he was young. He was probably a year or two older than me, maybe, young 30s. Love you and Danny's show. Love the station. Thanks. But he was so upset. He goes, you guys rag on my guy, Francesa. He's like, I'm from New York. He is great, man, and without him, like, you guys don't exist. And I was like, that's probably true. And I will give him credit. There was a place for him and a time for him, and that time is not now, and that place is not 2000.
Yeah, it's like saying Nolan Ryan was awesome, and how dare you say you can't pitch today?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Roger Clemens was the man. You don't want him in the Nats rotation? Today?
No.
No, I don't,
Yeah, and it's totally true. We don't exist without him. That's 100% true.
This guy wouldn't admit. I said, but you admit he doesn't put in the work he used to, or, you know, there's a lot of comical things and he's falling asleep on air. I mean, do you remember that?
No. Yes, of course I do.
He fell asleep during an interview.
During a long call. It was an interview or was it a call? That was just a regular call.
And the guy wouldn't acknowledge it. And my thing is, we all make mistakes. Like, you and I do this long enough, we're going to make a ridiculous mistake.
Tom's got a damn folder of my mistakes.
I know.
There's a folder. He's nodding his head
vigorously.
I'm saying
bigger mistakes. I'm saying bigger than you did. Like, we'll accidentally...
Bigger than Jeremy Maclin.
We'll read a report that someone's out for the year that isn't 2 years later.
Yeah.
We'll do that at some point, probably. Or, you know, name the mistake. We'll fall asleep during... We probably won't fall asleep during an interview. But we'll make some mistakes.
I invented the...
It's the number of them that there are. And also, the lack of acknowledgement from the people that love him so much. Like, at least admit he is a goofball, but he's my goofball. No one wants to, he's the best.
You can't even go that far.
No, you cannot admit it.
You can't even go that far. He was a great pitcher in the 80s, and he can still pitch today. You know what I mean? It's just not, it's not true. It's okay. It's okay to admit that. It's okay to admit that he's a Hall of Famer, that he was great, and he's not anymore. That's fine.
Your referee, don't take pictures with Gurley.
He poses for a photo with, what's his name, the running back? Todd, Boys and Girls Club. Come on, dude.
I told you about the time, too. I was listening. I remember where I was. It's funny. I was in the parking lot of the St. James, and he was going through the quarterbacks for that weekend's games or something. And he goes, the Bucks were playing, whoever they were playing. He goes, Ryan Fitzpatrick. And he literally just read his stats, like one after one. And there was no analysis with it. He goes, he's having a pretty good year. 68% passing. Looks like, hold on, my computer's frozen. Looks like 22
My computer's frozen.
22 touchdowns. Not bad.
I just got a new Dell.
Looks like here, let's see, 11 interceptions. You know, Fitzpatrick, he's going to throw some picks.
So a couple people have tweeted him. I'm at Funny Danny. You're at Grant H. Paulson. That apparently, I can't wait to watch this. Somebody told him that it's not real. And I want to see it. I'm going to save it for the commercial break.
Why isn't
break.
That out there? Do we have that video?
It's from the same Funhouse guys. By the way, performed the greatest public service ever.
I am on that for, I swear to you, in college I would be on YouTube for hours on end all night long. Now my bit is I go through this vortex of 50 minutes at a time of watching their Francesa clips.
Back after this, AFTA this, because that's his thing. He ends every segment.
Best Twitter account going.
It's a great one. It's him and Records and Radio, basically. For me, that's, if I can only follow two, those are my two.
Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Final half hour of the show. Caps got to end the skid. The Wizards are playing better basketball, and we will hit a couple of thoughts on our NFL's Super Bowl matchup for Super Bowl 53.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Posted by Gurley, I guess, but it was not real. Thank God at least that wasn't true. So they didn't exchange jerseys, which I'm thankful for that.
Let's all go around the table and say what we're thankful for this year. Back in January, the Rams were playing the Saints. It was a controversial call, and Todd Gurley and a ref exchanged jerseys.
Oh, that one caught me.
It wasn't real, though, so I was thankful.
It was a meme.
I was thankful for the meme.
It was a fake. What you can do with pictures is you can doctor them, change them from their
wonderful what you can do with pictures now.
Tweet Maravich on Twitter. Unbelievable.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Actually, I do. It's a bad thing. That now, whenever he does something like this, 80 people tweet it to us because they know that
I'm in. I'm in.
But it also means that we're jerks. It means that we're just waiting for his next screw-up so we can pounce.
You can be a jerk, but also be so unbelievably correct. So if I'm a jerk because I'm correct in this one, point at me and call me a jerk. I'm just so right about this.
When did you get that scratch on your face? A bad scratch on your face.
It's the...
I just noticed it for the first time right now.
That's amazing. You just noticed it. I've had it for 3 days. The little guy with the, it's hard to cut baby fingernails. It's like Wolverine's claws, basically, full length. And he was displeased with something and decided to scratch my face. Bad, isn't it? Hurt like holy hell.
That's.
He took a chunk out.
Not okay. Mm-hmm. How mad were you at him?
How mad was I at my baby?
Yeah, that scratched you in the face.
Not very mad at all.
How mad at the situation were you?
2 million out of one. I mean, like, okay. Furious. So upset because nothing's going right.
You didn't direct your frustration to him scratching you.
No, he doesn't know any better. He literally doesn't know any better.
Have you considered teaching him not to scratch you?
We have gone into that. We're in counseling together, but somehow it hasn't stuck yet.
It hasn't happened.
It hasn't quite stuck.
That's
really interesting.
Was a good day overall around the house? Extra day with the kids?
Nope. Screw cold days where we're stuck inside. That's what I'll say.
Super Bowl 53 going to be played in Atlanta. We got a little rematch 2002, the Rams and the Patriots played. It was Tom Brady's first season after he took over for Drew Bledsoe. That year, the Rams, the greatest show on turf with Marshall Faulk and Kurt Warner, were heavy favorites. In fact, I believe they were something like going into the game almost 2 touchdown favorites.
Was it that big?
It's crazy. I don't know what it ended up being. I think at some point it might have been around 13 points, though. Right? It was like one of the largest Super Bowl spreads ever initially.
Seems right to me.
New England ends up winning the game, and as we know, went on to put together one of the great runs in the history of the league that has not yet ended. What's the crazier stat? That they've made 9 of their last 18 Super Bowls, that they have been in the AFC Championship game 8 straight years, that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick together as a tandem have more Super Bowl appearances, 2 times that of the number 2 tandem. I mean, what's the stat that's the weirdest, the most impressive?
The craziest stat is the consecutive AFC title games. That just no slip-ups ever. You know, nothing ever broke wrong.
There's no good answer here to, like, there's nothing you could say, oh, that one isn't as crazy, but I'll try it. That one doesn't blow me as much. Getting to the AFC title game when you only have to win 1 playoff game and it's almost always at home is actually not that absurd. They win a terrible division every year. They don't normally have to play in the first round, and they never have to play on the road. They're actually 508 playoff games on the road during the Belichick era, 4-4. So the getting to the AFC Championship game, it's kind of like LeBron. I almost expect him to be there. They don't have that much wooded area and, you know, tough trails to traverse. But getting through the AFC Championship game where you're playing a great team and now you're getting to the Super Bowl, to me that's just like the next. It's just crazy.
Half the Super Bowls that have been played involve them. It's weird when they're not there.
In almost 20 years.
Yeah, in over 20 years. I think you've found a way to knock down a peg, that 8 straight AFC title game thing. I just don't think we're going to see anything like that.
I don't think we will either.
Once this one's over, well, it'll go back to someone different every single year the way that it's been. I mean, there have been great teams put together. Sometimes they go to back-to-back. Or how crazy was the Bills made to 4 straight Super Bowls? Wow! Dwarfed by this. This is by a factor of 1,000 that they've gotten back there.
I'm not saying we'll ever see it again in our lifetimes. I don't think we will. I'm also saying that it's one of the most incredible things that's ever happened in sports. I guess my point is, on the level of how we talk about it, like the fact is, if you look at a percentage chance of, like, what's the percentage chance they get there? Well, at the beginning of every year, the percentage chance they win their division is 90-something.
It's high.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That has a lot to do with them. It also has a lot to do with their division. So you start with that. They're going to be in the playoffs, so you don't have to worry about that.
They finished second once since 2003.
That was the year Brady got hurt.
They went 11-5 that year.
11-5 the
Can
year
you
he got
believe
hurt.
It?
Never forget. 3-1 the 4 games when he was suspended. Never forget. They don't lose when he gets hurt or isn't in the lineup. Never forget. But beyond that point, they win the division, so you know that that's going to happen. Then you say, okay, well, do they play in the first round or not? Now, this is where you give them all the credit in the world. They get to 11 or 12 wins. They don't win 9 and 10 and sneak in. Like, they're not getting in as a wild card. They're very rarely having to win twice before the AFC title game. So they only have to win once. All I'm saying is it's an easier path than it is for most teams. They largely create that path, so you give them credit for that. But you're right. It sounds like, and I am, I guess, taking a little bit of credit away. I don't mean to do that. What they're doing is the best sports accomplishment of my lifetime.
They have some kind of, bad pun here, but some kind of cheat code that allows them to do this despite the normal roster turnover that everyone else experiences. The only constants are Brady and Belichick. And those are great constants, by the way. That's as good as you can have in sports.
Best coach ever, maybe the best quarterback ever.
52 other players have come and gone. The what they do on offense has morphed 50 times. What they do on defense has gone through 50 times. Gone are the days of, you know, Richard Seymour. Gone are the days of, you know, Troy Brown or whoever else. These guys who are now afterthoughts, who were Tom Brady's go-to guys, they've all changed. They've been a team that throws downfield all the time. They've been a team that checks it down every play to James White. They've been everything in between. Whatever it is, they have a formula that they develop, figure out the identity of that team that year, and go beat your brains in December or January. It's absolutely amazing. Just amazing.
How many more years of this do they have in them?
I thought, honestly, this was going to be the last one, and now I don't know. I mean, is it, you know, you look at Brady at this point, he hasn't been touched in 3 games, it looks like, right?
Their offensive line's protection percentage, so you look at the next-gen stats of pressure, They successfully pass blocked 91% of the time, avoiding pressure. Best game anybody had against the Chiefs all year. Flat-footed, standing from a clean, calm pocket. If you can protect him, why can't he do this for a couple more years? You know, and it's not like their personnel around him matters a whole lot. Like, people always say, he does it with nobody. Well, yeah, you know who else did it with nobody? Matt Cassel for those 16 games when they went 11-5. And Jacoby Brissett when they went 3-1. And Jimmy Garoppolo when he was suspended. It doesn't matter who their talent is. You know who gets wide open? Philip Dorsett and Chris Hogan.
Yep.
Rob Gronkowski is a shell of himself now. He can barely move. I don't know how many more years that guy has. Look, watching him.
He's the oldest 29-year-old of all time.
Is he 29?
He's 29.
That's crazy. He looks 53.
Yeah.
He cannot move. He's just wide open. There was a video put together. I can show you. It was pretty interesting. Of like all of the completions in the game. Now, Brady made what I would consider to be 4 or 5 absurd Hall of Fame, what a baller type throws, including that fourth down throw to Gronk on the must-have drive. Remember the lob ball down the sideline? It was amazing.
He couldn't have walked over there and handed it to him.
If you complete 30 passes, 26 of them are 7 yards from him to wide-open receivers. But it's those 3 or 4 game changers. Every single time you need him, he makes that throw. And that's why you got to give him the credit. You could say, oh, he's just throwing it to the running backs and the tight ends and the slot receivers. You're right. But on 4th and 5, tight coverage, when you got to drop a ball into the bucket to Rob Gronkowski, he's going to do it.
Or that step up laser beam to Julian Edelman in not that big of a window where he threw it to the perfect spot. Edelman catches it, huge first down. I think it was a 3rd and long. They had a couple in a row where they vacated the middle of the field and Edelman runs a perfect route and they were picking apart something before Kansas City adjusted. There were a couple throws in there where you go, yep, there goes a Hall of Famer. And Bruce Allen would have run to him to avoid talking to you.
There's a Hall of Famer. Speaking of Bruce Allen, he and Jay Gruden are speaking to reporters at the Senior Bowl today. Our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman is there. We're going to bring you Allen and Gruden's comments this afternoon right around 4 o'clock on Chad Dukes versus the World. We'll put a bow on this show next right here on G&D.
Grant Nanny for our friends at EMP 180 Weight Loss. We love these guys because they're great at what they do. Over the holidays, Grant, I don't know about you, but I had a couple meals I wasn't in control of. I was eating at father-in-law's house, mother-in-law's house, cousins' houses, wherever, and you had to eat what you had to eat. So I was kind of off my plan. Normally, in years past, when I get off my diet, that would have been it. I get off the rails, and next thing you know, I'm 20 pounds heavier than I want to be. Not anymore. Thanks to EMP 180 Weight Loss, I know exactly what to do and how to do it to get right back on track, and I have.
They've got offices all over the area now to help you out. Ashburn, Alexandria, Woodbridge, Tysons, and Rockville. And they're still expanding all over D.C. because they are the way to lose weight right now in this city and surrounding areas. Google EMP 180 to check out what they can offer you. It's an amazing program. It's going to be different for you than Danny, than me. Everything catered very specifically to your needs. That's how they did it with me and each of my brothers. I mean, as a family, we're down like, I don't know, 250 pounds or something insane. I'm down about 70. They're down almost 90 pounds apiece. It's absolutely crazy. And what EMP 180 has done has changed our lives forever. Get on board, Google them, EMP 180, or call them 855-888-0180.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
If you missed Jason Lockenfora on the show yesterday, Nate Davis today, or Craig Hoffman from Mobile, Alabama, as we previewed what Bruce Allen might have to say at the Senior Bowl, you can grab the podcasts of our show at thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. 4 o'clock is coming quickly, a little over 2 hours from now. Bruce Allen's first public comments in over a year with the media at the Senior Bowl. You'll hear them live here on The Fan right around 4 o'clock. My guess is you're going to get what is generally the Bruce Allen plan. He will address whatever's asked, and he'll do a very good job as a politician, you know, not taking things head on. But there's going to be some news out of this. He's going to be asked about Reuben Foster. We're going to get some comments from him. Is he going to be suspended, do they think? Is he going to be a Redskin? Is the plan as of right now that he's going to be on the field next year? He will be asked about Alex Smith's future. Even if he says, we're not really sure, we're hopeful, but it's a long road to recovery, that's something. I mean, he has not spoken about the Alex Smith injury.
You could summarize it this way. Him speaking is news because he doesn't. If he spoke all the time, this would be just another, you know, Jay Gruden gives a weekly press conference, and we should hear what he has to say post-game and this injury and this update and the other. This, you go years, not hyperbole, years without hearing from him directly on anything. These will all be topics.
I would love for him to be asked today, and there's only a handful of reporters down there, and luckily ours is one of them. I would love to hear him asked a question about how rare it is that we hear from him. And I don't know specifically what it needs to be or what it would be. I guess what I would ask is, why don't you talk to the media more often? Or even, why don't you do the very commonplace end of year State of the Union that everybody else in your role seems to be willing to do? What is the logic behind how rarely you speak? The other thing I would love him to be asked, and I think Craig brought this up as something he's got on his list of things to cover, so hopefully it gets asked. How aware is he and cognizant of is he of the vitriol toward him in this fan base? The fact that when his name comes up, it is met with consternation and anguish and a bunch of livid people screaming about the fact that he hasn't done a good job. When's the last time you went to the Redskins Twitter account and just looked at the comments on anything that they post?
On anything that they post.
Let's just do the exercise here, okay? Sure. I'm going to @Redskins right now.
Go for it.
Their last tweet was from 1 hour ago. Something about a mock draft. The Redskins are taking a guy named Jachai Polite. I don't even know how you say his first name. His last name is Polite. His quickness and burst around 240 pounds make him an ideal fit at outside linebacker for a 3-4 scheme. Okay, he's a Florida Gator. I'm clicking on that, and here are the responses. It would be polite to hashtag fire Bruce Allen. I'm not a religious man, but I'll pray for the poor souls drafted by Washington. Hashtag fire Bruce Allen. Hashtag sell the team. I'm sick of damn 3-4. Start with the 4-3 campaign. You're addressing the symptoms when the disease is the ownership and his buddy. Hashtag fire Bruce Allen. Hashtag sell the team.
I scanned down to see if maybe other guy. Nope. Allen's incompetence and arrogance make him an ideal fit for worst executive in the NFL. That's a quote at hashtag fire Bruce Allen.
Hashtag fire Bruce Allen. Hashtag Dan Snyder sucks. The Redskins should be playing a 3-4. Dot, 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 dot. Hashtag, yeah, you guessed it, fire Bruce
Allen.
Doesn't
matter who they draft if they don't fire Bruce Allen.
I mean, I am scrolling and scrolling and scrolling of the hundreds of comments. 95% of them say fire Bruce Allen. Everything they do on social media, that's the response that they get. And I want to know, how aware is he of that?
Has anyone showed him anything? You know what I mean? So that's a big one. If he knows, they've got to know something. Because remember, didn't we see a report where they are aware of it, but they don't care? That sounds like something that somebody said somewhere, right? Anyway, I lost track of all the how pathetic this whole thing is and how awful they are and how distant they are.
Well, one thing that I'd heard recently was that his point on that was that the people saying that aren't the real Redskins fans. A real Redskins fan wouldn't be saying that, which is rich.
Mm.
That is Rich Shvatkin.
But that's a great. But it's a great way to do it. Honestly, it's.
Is it Rich Campbell?
Dude, to me, that's very.
Or is it Rich Rebar?
That's a great one. That's how you do it, though. Is you keep dipping into that well to try to get everybody fighting about something else. That's what the Redskins have done for so many years. They go tradition, tradition, tradition. We were great one time, and all the diehards, all the crazy people think they're going to win 11 games a season, even though they haven't in 30 years. Buy that and think if you criticize the team, you are a hater or whatever kind of nonsense that idiots use. That's what they've done for so long, and he's able to couch it. He's hide behind it. Either you're in favor of Bruce Allen or you hate the Redskins. Not so fast, my friend. I can complain about Congress. Doesn't mean I don't love America. Pretty basic deal here. I complain about you, Bruce, because you're not good at your job. Dan Snyder sucks, and I wish both of you guys weren't in the positions that you're in. I want the Washington Redskins to win. That's why I want you gone. Pretty simple logical chain to build there. Pretty simple, pretty easy to do, and you could try it at home with the little home game. I love the Redskins. I want them to be good. Therefore, I want Bruce Allen to be fired. Love the Redskins. Hate your guts. There you go. Pretty simple.
You're not a Redskins fan if you think that.
Right? Ah, yes, of course.
Give me 15 seconds on the clock for my Bachelor Episode 3 review. You have 15 seconds on the clock?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Sending Bree home was a mistake. Hannah B. should have been booted long ago. Awful one-on-one date and is a maniac. My power rankings right now, Cassie number 1, Hannah G. number 2, Elise, even though she's a little bit older, number 3, Sydney number 4, loved the stretching routine yesterday, and number 5, Tayshia. That is my power rankings top 5. That is my Bachelor Episode 3 review in 15 seconds.
Still can't believe people I respect watch that thing. All those things. I don't get how they're a thing. I don't get how smart people watch it.
You'd enjoy it. Come on over on a Monday night.
I most certainly would not.
Chad Dukes versus the world is next right here on The Fan. Remember, we are headed down to Flowrida for spring training on February 20th. About a month away, Danny. We're going to be staying in a pretty nice hotel as well. Hilton West Palm Beach. Flagship lifestyle hotel with a global mentality. Complementing the destination's caliber of travelers. So if you're coming down to spring training, plan your trip for the 20th, hang out with your pals.
Speaking of spring training, the baseball labor market is slow, impending possible labor unrest. Chad Dukes has a breakdown of what will be involved in the new CBA 4.5 hours. Next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.